He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Kia ora, I'm Justin Gregory for Our Changing World, and in this episode, I'm finding out about one of New Zealand's biggest natural problems and ways we might mitigate it. Aotearoa, the land of the long white cloud and rain. It rains a lot here in New Zealand.
New Zealand has huge amount of rainfall compared to other countries.
That's Dr. Celine Catoen-Gilbert, a hydrological forecasting scientist at NIWA. When she says huge, she means it. Australia has just over 400 millimetres of annual rainfall, the United Kingdom just under 900. Most parts of New Zealand have between 600 and 1600 millimetres.
A couple of years ago, we got, in 2 days, I think, over 1,000 millimetres of rainfall in the Southern Alps that was observed. So it's huge amounts of water that we're getting in New Zealand.
Westerly winds scream in from the roaring 40s, hit our high mountain chain, and then rain falls in vast quantities. And often here, too often, rain means floods. In mid-July 2021, Westport residents were forced out of their homes when levels in the Buller River reached their highest in a century.
Hundreds are still homeless and a massive clean-up awaits the Buller District and parts of Marlborough following a flooding event a government minister has labelled historic.
Westport remained in a state of emergency for the next 3 weeks, and in late August, it was West Auckland's turn.
Never, ever seen anything like it. And the stream at the back of our property was up about 4 metres.
Insurance claims for damage after that flood have topped $56 million already. Over the last decade or so, insurers have paid out more than $1.1 billion to people whose lives have been affected by flooding. Flooding is the most frequent natural disaster in this country, not just because of the volume of rain that hits the ground, but also what that ground is like. Celine again.
You can have rainfall that is intercepted by forests, or the rainfall can go to the ground and then it can just run off the ground, especially if you've got high slopes, or it can be infiltrated. Often it will be infiltrated first into the soil until it gets saturated. Or if the rain is really fast, then it can't take the infiltrate the rainfall too fast. So then you have the rain running over the surface. But if it gets infiltrated, it will go into the subsurface, into the soil, and then the process is a bit slower getting into the ground. And then it will go into the aquifer, for example, and then it will appear to the river coming from downhill. And so you've got a fast process overhill, a slower process downhill, and this will contribute to the timing of the river getting higher. So often the water will rise to a peak, and then after the peak, it will go down. What's really interesting in New Zealand is that in the forest, you've got a lot of water that can get really, really quickly over the ground, but also underneath. So you can have something called macropores and micropores. Basically, in the ground, you've got little tiny gaps where the water can go more or less quickly. And so through roots, cracks in the bedrocks, that can provide faster pathway for the water to go there. And so this is all the processes of how the water gets into the river. And so it's extremely complicated to model.
Yep, complicated. You'll hear that word a bit in this story. But modelling that complexity is exactly what Celine and her team are trying to do.
The project I'm working on is a national-scale river flow forecasting system. It's a proof of concept, so we're doing the research to see whether we can predict river level at national scale for ungauged rivers. The idea is to raise awareness of river levels and potentially extremely high river flows for potentially floods as well. And so the science behind it is to understand the processes behind rainfall runoff, how the rain gets from the atmosphere into the ground, the catchment, and the pathways through the ground into the river, and predict how it may affect the river levels.
Quick note, a gauged river is one in which the flow and discharge of water is monitored and measured. In New Zealand, that's mostly done by local government. And as you've heard, since 2019, Celine and her team have been studying rivers that aren't gauged. And that's not easy, because our river system is extensive and, yes, complicated. More than 70 major river systems covering 425,000 kilometres, some slow and braided, some fast and deep, some in natural environments and some entering catchments. And as Celine said, it's not just how much rain falls, but what the landscape is like where it falls, what kind, size and type of river it makes its way to, what the river does from there, and what kind of countryside it passes through on its way to the sea. And of course, there's the human factor. So by necessity, this is a co-design project requiring a range of experts.
Atmospheric science, hydrological science, forecasting science, how to handle uncertainty, and then also social science, decision making, how to communicate the information.
And they need a lot of information from a lot of different sources, especially real-time flow data, which is held by individual regional authorities.
One way to improve the system in the future would be to have all that data accessible in real time in one place. At the moment, we don't have that, and so there's a bit of a delay in getting into the system. And it's the same thing for climate information and rainfall data in particular. You have a delay in getting all of this in real time, and so it means that we don't have all the best information that we could have. So that's something that I guess the project has raised by, you know, doing that proof of concept. What do we need to do to build a system?
What they are doing is modelling on a national scale, joining up the pieces and filling in some of the gaps in river monitoring.
The whole model is running on small basins across the entire country, and that's about 50 to 60,000 of them running, and only looking at a certain size of river. So we're not doing all the small rivers that start at the headwaters. We're only starting from a river network where you already have one or two rivers kind of connected. So we're still getting quite a very large number of rivers, but it's not yet computationally feasible to do everything from the start of the headwaters. So it's quite a lot of computations that needs to be done.
All those computations are done by NIWA's supercomputer, and when they're combined with 40 years of climate records, the result is an ability to predict relative increases in flow up to 48 hours into the future. This is then rendered as video animations. This project is all about public safety, so anyone, farmers, trampers, fishing fans, will be able to watch those videos, get good information, and then make good decisions. Local government should find it valuable too.
The responsibility for flood warning in New Zealand is for the regional and local councils. And so some councils have models for specific rivers, specific catchments. The oversight is very local, and there are up to 25% of the rivers that are engaged in New Zealand. And so the gap that this fills is to project some river information in places where we don't have any models already set up, or we don't have any monitoring that can tell us what is going on and what is the river level going to do in a few hours. So the idea is to complement what's already existing, or fill a gap of where there is no monitoring. In the last 10 years, for example, we had at least three events that were nationwide, and more some of the floods happen across different regions. So having a bit of a national picture can be quite helpful to see what sorts of storm is happening and how it propagates and which river might be impacted most. So this is where it can help the most.
The model got a real-world test in May this year.
A state of emergency will continue for a week in Canterbury's worst-hit flood areas. This comes after intense rain earlier this week that caused chaos, including forcing many people to evacuate and badly damaging roads.
A deep, low-pressure system, a so-called atmospheric river, dumped more than twice Samaria's monthly rainfall in just 3 days. By comparing the model's predictions to the real-life outcomes, Celine's team were able to capture some useful insights into the tool's effectiveness and limitations.
At the moment, the model isn't able to predict locally with great precision and accuracy the amount of river discharge in an absolute value, but it's able to provide information in a relative sense compared to historical simulations. So we don't have precisions yet, but we have more of a qualitative information to say this river is worst and it's above a certain threshold of really high flow. And so we could see that the river is more affected were the ones with headwaters at the foothills of the Southern Alps, whereas some other storms, it's the other around, where you only have like the Waimakariri and the Rangitaki that have their headwaters in the Alps that are affected, but then the other smaller rivers aren't affected. So the model already is able to kind of pinpoint the effect of different storms, and that's quite helpful already.
The National River Flow Forecasting Tool project is still at proof of concept stage, and there's work to do. It needs more money and it needs more time. But Dr. Celine Catoen-Gilbert has a plan for the next stage.
We've had a couple of years of forecast, and we've been looking at how well it performs or how badly it performed in some places. So we already know that there are places where it's doing quite well, and in some other places, like very dry catchment or very wet catchment, it might be over forecasting. The next steps would be to kind of make some improvement to the model, refine our assumptions. Something else that we're working towards is like a website that might be able to show you what you can't see with the videos. The videos that we have, you can see what's happening over time. It's a very breadth type of information. With a website, we're hoping you can do something similar, but you can zoom in and more interactively see what might be happening. It would still be at the level of relative flow value, above normal, below normal, and very high. You can zoom in and click, and then you can see what we call a hydrograph, which is basically a graph showing versus time what might the forecast look like, and that might be a bit more helpful to see when a peak might occur and when it might start receding, and that sort of information for all the rivers that we have. And then the question is, well, how do we go from here? And that's not a question I can answer. But in terms of the research, there's definitely a lot more to do in the future.
While you're waiting, if you're worried about your nearby river, you can check weather sites like NIWA or Met Service. You could go to local government websites, or you could always listen to your radio. Thanks to Dr. Celine Catoen-Gilbert from NIWA. This episode was produced by Justin Gregory. Sound engineering was by Adrian Holley. Tim Watkin is the executive producer. You can also follow Our Changing World podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. And do keep in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are at RNZ Science. To find all the previous Our Changing World episodes, photos and links, or to subscribe to our email newsletter, just check out our webpage, rnz.co.nz, Our Changing World. And while you're there, make sure you check out some of the other amazing podcasts made by RNZ, such as Red Line or Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower. I'm Justin Gregory. Thanks for your company, and thanks for listening. Ma te wa.